Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church, and a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you enjoy your visit with us this morning and that you'll come back to see us often. I am going to remember this morning to ask you to please sign the attendance registry as it is passed down the pew and then pass it back to the center aisle, and the person on the center aisle please tear the sheet off and place it in the offering plate. Reminder that our gatherings continue this Wednesday night. You will have a choice of the Gospel of John, taught by Reverend Dennis, or an introduction to square dancing. So you've got quite a choice this Wednesday night. The meal will be barbecue, baked beans, slaw, potato chips, and cookies. Use the cards in the pew rack there to make a reservation for the Wednesday night gatherings. Also beginning this Sunday night, for the 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders, Peggy Swofford will be beginning a puppet ministry, so all of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders are invited to attend that. It will be upstairs in the Asbury Outreach Center at 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock until 6:30 this afternoon. Also a reminder that our pickup basketball tournament continues this Sunday evening at 7 o'clock in the gym in the Asbury Outreach Center. The morning yoga Pilates classes begin September 26th, and the cost of that is $25 for 12 classes. Classes will be two times a week, and the classes will be held at 9 o'clock a.m. on Tuesdays and Fridays, not Monday as printed in the newsletter, but they will be on Tuesdays and Fridays at 9 o'clock. So if you are interested in that, please call the church office to register for that. We will not have an email version of the newsletter this week. I think Richard is going to be out of town, so we will not have an email version. The newsletter will be mailed out this week, and then we'll get back on schedule for the email version next week. Reminder to put on your calendars our community-wide Fall Festival of Faith, which begins October 16th, will be October 16th, 17th, and 18th, 7 o'clock every night here in the sanctuary. Our featured speaker will be Talmadge Skinner from Wofford College. We hope that you will all make plans to attend all three nights of that Fall Festival of Faith. Also, we are going to do a new pictorial directory this year. We are now taking, or you can now sign up for time slots to have your pictures taken for that directory. The days for taking pictures will be November 15th through the 19th, and then November 22nd through 26th, which is Thanksgiving week. They will be taking pictures that week except for the day of Thanksgiving. So the sign-up sheets are located just outside the fellowship hall. We hope that everyone will sign up to have their picture taken for our new pictorial directory. Now, as we prepare our hearts for worship, please keep in your thoughts and prayers our mission team who left this morning to go to Van Cleve, Mississippi to help with Katrina relief. And as we prepare for worship, if you would please say a silent prayer for that mission team.
Please stand for the call to worship, please. Bring yourselves before the Lord for our faithful works, our loving labors, and our constant hopes to the glory of God. Bring yourselves before the Lord. We await the gospel in word and in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in full conviction. Touch us today in unexpected ways. Surprise us with joy and peace. Please be seated. Now will you join me in the invocation printed in your bulletin? Send your Spirit, faithful God, open the eyes of our hearts and give to us the mind of Christ. Bind us together in trust and love as we worship you. Fill us with grace and light enough to see the need around us. Send us forth from your house with a larger vision of compassion for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning is a morning in which we recognize those who have been acolytes and crucifers in the past, and also bring into our class of acolytes and crucifers some new individuals who have been trained. Those returning, and I invite all these to come forward, those who are brand new to stand behind the altar rail here, and those who are experienced to stand in front of the altar rail again here. The returning acolytes are Josie Adams, Scurry Charles, Abby Dent, Bette Klauber, Nick Nichols, Carly Rogers, Haley Rogers, Jacob Stockman, and Heron Warner. The new acolytes are Towns Adair Jones and Jackson Nichols. Returning crucifers are Sarah Adams, Sarah Kaysen, Jacob Kinlaw, Kyle Patterson, Wesley Runyon, Amelia Stockman, Miranda Stockman, and Colby Tharp. The new crucifer is Christopher Corbett. Those who are new, please up behind the altar rail, and those who are experienced in front. Now, I'd like to ask, first of all, for one of the experienced acolytes to take the... Now, the acolyte cross is here, the wooden cross. We'd like an experienced acolyte to take that and place that around the neck. And let's see, now, who is our new acolyte? Yes, Jackson Nichols is Jackson. If you place that on Jackson's neck, and we bind you with this cross in service... As part of the worship service, as we praise God together as an acolyte, bringing light, which is a symbol of God's Spirit, into our midst. And we would like one of the returning crucifers to take the crucifer's cross, which is this gold cross, just here on the altar rail, and place that on Christopher's neck. The crucifer bearing the cross of Christ, the empty cross signifying the sacrifice that God has given us in His Son Jesus Christ, and also the empty cross as a resurrection, showing that, yes, sin and death were overcome, but resurrection has redeemed Christ as His Son and also will redeem us. Our hope is in heaven through Jesus Christ. We thank you all for your part in our worship service, all for serving in special ways, in the additional duty which I added last week of the acolytes bringing me a glass of water from time to time. Who knows? In the middle of my sermon, I may ask that yet again. But we appreciate your service, and we will show that in the way we sometimes do with a polite round of applause. Thank you. We thank you, parents, for bringing them for training. We thank you, young people, for being willing to serve God in this way. Please be seated. As for our community concerns, I have a few announcements not in our bulletin. And one is that, unfortunately, the timing is bad. October 16, 17, and 18, the timing is not bad for our Festival of Faith when Dr. Talmage Skinner will be here. The timing is bad in that we will have a minister from Laos, a minister, a United Methodist minister from Laos, who will be at St. Mark's UMC on the 16th. So that's the same day we have so much going on here, and that is unfortunate those things conflict. But he will preach at the early service at St. Mark's, 8:45 on October 16th. I wanted to announce that today. We were asked to, and we will put that in the bulletin. I am not pronouncing his name because I cannot pronounce his name, but we will spell it right in the bulletin when we put that out. And we'll be perhaps a partner church along with St. Mark's for his efforts in Laos. Other community concerns, we have a note here that Faye Rush is having surgery on Tuesday. We also have a note this morning that Mamie Scurry, longtime member, is in the hospital and is not doing very well. Ruby Minor was in the hospital having some tests and some chest pain this past week. I don't have an update on Ruby. Good, that's what I expected, I'm glad. Betty Turner is at her daughter's house. Dr. Bill Clauber, briefly in the hospital, but back home. Lib Gambrell was in the hospital this past week. Buff Lehman at home under hospice care. Martha Chalmers recovering from a broken arm. Joyce Bartless undergoing treatment. Burns Anderson in the hospital. Ann Rogers recovering at home. Reverend Patty Griffith Falaw still needs to be in our prayers. And Joyce Rourke is in Health South in Columbia. We saw her last week, and she is doing well and intends to be home in the next 2 weeks, we hope. We've already mentioned the team going to Mississippi this morning, and they did get off at 7 o'clock, and we do need to be in prayer for them and for those they will reach in God's name and also in the name of Main Street as we sent them forth. And I am proud for your support for them and for them being willing to go. Now, they have left the staff kind of short, but I wrote this morning by email Pastor Larry Maul in Van Cleve, Mississippi, and I said, "You have my program director, you have my congregational nurse, you have my youth director, you have my computer maintenance man, and you have my wife. You are now the senior pastor of Main Street United Methodist Church in Greenwood, and I hope you do well. God have mercy on him." Well, we will. Let us. Yes. I'm sorry, I did not hear. I'm sorry, I did not hear that. Sarah Ann Wise has fallen and broken her arm. Thank you for making us aware of that. Let us be attentive to her as a congregation, and let us be mindful of her in our prayers. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come before you as your children. We pray that you do gather us together as a worshiping family and touch us today in unexpected ways and indeed surprise us with joy and peace. In a world filled with so much bad news so far away and near to home and in private concerns in our hearts and families that only we and you are aware of, Lord, we need your peace. We need your joy. We need the comfort and presence of your Spirit which passes all human understanding. Touch us this day, we pray. And Lord, be with our mission team and use them as instruments of your peace and hope and healing and in ways that they cannot foresee. Father, you are a God of surprises and of using small Davids to defeat Goliaths and of using unexpected and uneducated disciples and fishermen to spread your word. We know that you can use us. We offer ourselves in a renewed way, in a renewed covenant, to serve you and to be your light in the darkness, in this church within its walls and outside the walls in the community around us and beyond. Lord, use us. We are yours. We surrender ourselves, our talents, our time, our resources, all that we are. And Lord, we do pray for the leaders of the nations of this troubled world. We pray that they be more open to the influence of your Spirit and that peace break out and that the light pierce the clouds of war and darkness and hate and bitterness and ancient rivalry. We do pray for evidence of your Spirit moving in large ways. And Father, we pray the prayers of our hearts for ourselves, for our doubts, for our struggling, for our fears as we work out our faith. We pray that you give us the things we need to move to the next step from faith to deeper faith. And as we grow together and as we grow in individuals, we grow in our concern for one another. And we have heard so many concerns. Lord, we pray for these names we have lifted up. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray for those who are fearful and uncertain about the outcome of medical tests. We pray for those receiving treatment that you comfort them and be healing hands through doctors and nurses. Lord, hear our prayers as we lift them up in a moment of silence in our hearts. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I do invite the children down front now for the children's message today with Coach Shel Dua.
Y'all come on down. Now, this might not be as exciting as the past 2 weeks, because they have been excellent, but I've been asked to do it. I think I was a substitute, but I'm glad to do it. It's good to see y'all. Y'all, everybody good this morning? How many of y'all like football or basketball or baseball? Raise your hand. I tell you, when you talk about football, some of us are happy today, and some of us aren't real happy on the weekend results, but if you've ever been to a football game, you like football? You like baseball? I like baseball, too. I like that, too. Good, good. I tell you, if you ever go to a football game, you see people out there that have on striped shirts. They're called officials, and they make calls during the game. Now, we've got a lot of really great officials in our church. Mr. Mike Williams, would you stand up, please, sir, up there in the choir? Mr. Mike Williams is an official, and he's been doing it for years and years. We've got, you aren't going to stand up, Mr. Williams. You're going to sit back down. They won't see you. There he is right there. And you just stay up a second, okay? And Jack Childress is a member of our church, but Jack's not here this morning. He probably had an ACC game and had to be out of town. Carl Punt is a basketball official, and we have several others. Oh, yeah, there's Jack right there, right. Thank you, Mr. Williams. The officials make calls. They call offsides, or they might call touchdown, or they might call clipping, but they make calls. Now, sometimes, listen to this, sometimes we are called. The officials make calls, but sometimes we are called. Layton, you called? Okay, Layton, time for bed. Has your mom ever called you to come to bed? Yeah, I bet she has. Is there another call being made? Oh, see, sometimes we're called too. Sometimes our parents call us, or sometimes we're called to do things. Now, I have a box here because we have some people. We have some people in our church who have been called. We have some people in our church. Hey, Sophie. We have some people in our church who have been called. They've been called to go down to Mississippi and help those folks down there who were devastated by the hurricane a couple of weeks ago. And they're taking things to them. Now, Mr. Joe Chandler went several weeks ago and took a big old machine down there. But some today that are left, they might be taking a notebook for them to use in school. They might be taking Kleenex. They might be taking water. Soap. What's this? Y'all favorite thing. What is this? Toothpaste. That's your favorite. Oh, here's my favorite. What's this?
Jelly.
Good. What is this? Rice cream? All right. So, you see, sometimes God calls us to do things. And God has called these people in our church to go down and to help those folks, to take them things they need. Now, what I want y'all to do next week, would y'all do this for me? When we have children's time next week, would each one of y'all bring something? We'll have some boxes up here. Would each one of y'all bring something? Because see, y'all being called by God too. God wants y'all to bring something that we can send to Mississippi to help the boys and girls down there. A lot of those boys and girls have lost their clothes, they've lost their food, they lost everything. So we can send them something. Would y'all do that for me next week? Tell Mom and Daddy when you go back to remind them, to help you to remember, to bring something that we can put in boxes that we can send to the boys and girls in Mississippi and Louisiana and other places. Will you do that for me? Sophie, thank you. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for calling us to help others. In Jesus' name, amen.
As the children are returning to their seat, one announcement that would be of interest to the children and their parents is a reminder that today our puppet ministry begins at 5 o'clock in the Asbury Gym. Today the puppet ministry begins at 5 o'clock in the Asbury Gym. A reminder to parents and children. Let us pass the peace. God's peace. I haven't caught my breath yet. I got here about 5 to. That's my very first time praying without having it written out. Did it show? I said that was my first time praying without writing it out at this church.
Our first reading this morning comes from Exodus, and it is a continuation of the Israelites' travel through the wilderness. I'll be reading the first 7 verses of the chapter 17. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go ahead of the people and take some of the leaders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter. I will be reading the first 13 verses. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human kindness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As you stand for the Psalter, number 799, please note the response in the bulletin: open my eye, illumine me, Spirit divine. Please stand. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old.
Things that we have heard and known, that our forebears have told us,
we did not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord, and the might and wonders God has wrought.
The Ephraimites, armed with bow, turned back on the day of battle.
They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to God's law.
They forgot the deeds of the Lord, the miracles that God had shown them.
The Lord wrought marvels in the sight of their forebears, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan.
The Lord divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. Cleft rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep.
May the streams come out of the rocks, cause waters to flow down like rivers.
Yet they sin still more against God, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying,
"Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Indeed, God struck the rocks until water poured out, streams that overflowed. Can God also give bread or provide meat for the people?"
They did not believe in His wonder, so God made their days like a breath, turned their years into terror.
Whenever God slew them, they would inquire after God, repent and seek God earnestly.
They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer.
And they fluttered with their mouths, to whom they lied with their tongues.
Their heart was not steadfast toward God. They were not true to God's covenant.
Yet God, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them.
Please be seated. And let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, we thank You for every good gift, for all belongs to You. We thank you for giving us enough to meet our needs and returning a tithe, a portion to you. We pray that you bless these tithes, these offerings, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you a question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of the multitude, for all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered, "Jesus, we do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And he went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some scripture is open to misinterpretation, and once a Sunday school teacher asked a young class of children, "What do you think a land flowing with milk and honey would be like?" And a hesitant little boy raised his hand and he said, "Sticky?" Some parables are difficult, but not this one, not this short little parable. As always, there was a conflict. The powers that be were there in the temple were questioning and trying to trap Jesus. They were saying, "What authority do you have? Where did you go to school? What are your references?" They asked questions not to learn, but to trap Jesus. True learning requires an openness to change and the possibility of repentance. And the powers that be in the temple were arguing with every fiber of their being to stay the same, and so do we. It went like this: "Jesus, we don't like what you're saying, but we're having a hard time disagreeing with the truth of it, so we're going to attack you personally. And if we can't disagree with you, nor find any fault personally, then we'll attack your credentials." That happens all the time. The old commentator Barclay boiled this parable down to, "Fine words can never substitute for fine deeds." So what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And the first boy said, "I will not." But afterwards he thought about it, and he regretted that. And he did go, and he did as his father said. Then he came to the second son and said, "Son, work in my vineyard today." And the second son was a whole lot like that character Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver. Do you remember that? Some of you are old enough. Most of you are old enough to remember. I've seen in reruns Eddie Haskell. I think I have his name right. He was always so polite in public. He said, "Good morning, Mrs. Cleaver. Your hair is very pretty today." Or, "This is the finest meal I've ever eaten." And then later in private, he was a sneak. This son said, "Of course, Father, nothing would please me more than to go out and work in the field for you." But 2 hours later, the verbally obedient son is lying on the sofa and watching MTV. In the scripture, son two said, "I go, sir." And that word "sir" is the same word that is translated "Lord." It reminds me of another of Jesus' teachings. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Not saying, but doing. Saying the words is not hard. There is no fear in trembling. There is no doubt to overcome. There are no allegiances to realign. No sacrificial giving in verbal faith. You just say it, and then you go about your business without another thought about God or God's will. But the journey of faith is a journey with God, often pitting our will against God's, often pitting the things we trust against trust in God. And it is a journey, I believe, only possible with God's help. To even desire the lifelong journey of faith, we must be in love with God. Saying that we want to do God's will, or saying that we love God, but doing nothing different, is meaningless. If in our lives, in God's field which in the language of Matthew is the world, if we do nothing, either loving toward God or toward God's church or loving toward other people, if we merely say we love God, it is worse than meaningless. It is inviting Jesus' question, why do you even bother to call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say? The religious officials who invited this parable were seen as the best people in the land. Yet Jesus said tax collectors and prostitutes were going into the kingdom ahead of them. These officials had used their religion to insulate themselves against God. They clung to traditions. They clung to rules. They clung to their own power. They had no need for God. They had selfish reasons to resist change because they had it good. The folks at the bottom, thought of as the dregs of the culture, had nothing except God. True, they had said no to God sometime in the past, and they had lived out a big capital no to some of God's boundaries, but if they said yes now, it was not too late for them. They at least knew that they needed more. God wants our hearts. And Jesus wants us to want and love God with our whole hearts and our whole minds and our souls, and to want to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Jesus did not teach blind obedience. He never taught begrudging, joy-stealing obedience. In this light, listen to Jesus where he says, where your heart is, where your desire is, where the things you want and your inner self are, where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. Jesus wants us to want to be in relationship with God. Our treasure is our relationship with God. And that relationship changes us. How could it not? Think about the heart. The inner desire of son number one. He said no, but then he repented. He did some soul searching. He did some thinking. He decided that what he really wanted to do was what the Father wanted him to do. And so he went and did that, his Father's will, because it was his heart's desire, not out of blind obedience. An element of trust is always there to be sure, because we do not always understand why it must be done now or why it must be done by me. But finally, it was his decision to repent or turn from his no and turn it into a yes. He turned it into a yes in his heart, and then he turned it into a yes in his life by doing what his Father asked him to do. In John 14, Jesus appeals directly to people's love for God as motivation. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." In other words, loving God equals wanting to do and doing God's will. Now, how big is this theme? It is throughout the Scripture. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And as always, Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And out of a believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Forgive from the heart. Live from out of what is in your heart. Give money not with regret, but freely from the heart. Faith is not about grudging obedience. It is from the heart. And if your heart is not thus inclined, then it is time to pray for a change of heart. The journey of faith then begins in earnest. The story is told of the Duke of Wellington when he won the Battle of Waterloo. The French generals were brought to the Duke's tent for formal surrender. And it is said that the French began to flatter and to praise Wellington. They said, "Oh, we're not ashamed to be defeated by such a great warrior." The Duke listened for a while and he said simply, "Gentlemen, your swords." Jesus is not so much impressed by our praises. Jesus simply says, ladies and gentlemen, your hearts, your lives. No matter how large or small our power, we fear complete surrender. We fear in a worldly way that somehow we might have less if we give our all to God. Wesley recognized that in his covenant renewal prayer, in which he wrote, Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing or put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things or let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. I have seen hard hearts cry when they said and meant that prayer. Do you trust God when it might cost you some personal power or freedom or time or money or talent? That is the question of faith, isn't it? We try to reduce it to mere verbal, yes sir, but that won't do. Faith is a lifelong struggle. It is a dance with God, a dance with God. But before you join the dance with God, be clear, God leads. God leads. Last week, you may have noticed some digging in our parking lot. It may have alarmed you, but that's a good thing. Our alert building superintendent, Bill White, found that we didn't have enough slope on our sewer pipe away from the new building. And folks, you really want slope away from your building on a sewer pipe. And I'm going to tell this story on Bill White. A construction crew was laying a drain pipe, and while digging, the workers uncovered a power cable in their way, and they stopped. They called in an electrician. The electrician came, and he looked at the cable, and he said, Bill, that cable is dead. Go ahead. Cut it out of the way. And Bill asked, are you sure there's no danger? The electrician said, absolutely. So Bill said, well then, would you mind cutting it? The electrician halted a minute and he said, well, I'm not that sure. We say we surrender our hearts and lives to God with complete love and devotion and trust, and then we hold back. We say, yes, I'll go and do, and then we, fearful, busy, selfish, other gods, other desires, we say yes, and then we do nothing. Faith has personal cost. A young pastor gave out a survey asking, do you think there should be a Sunday evening Bible study? And the young pastor was overwhelmed at the response in his small church. Over 75 people said, yes, there should be an evening Bible study. Wow. That boy began making plans. He began ordering material. And then an older retired pastor, someone like Jim Medley, came around and suggested, now, slow down. Maybe you didn't ask the right question. Before you order all that material, how about asking it this way? Send out another survey and ask the question, would you attend a Sunday night Bible study? Well, there were 75 who said, yes, in general, there ought to be a Sunday night Bible study. But on the second study, only 12 who said they would attend. There is a difference between saying and doing. A young woman recently told me about a friend of hers at college who had taken a pledge to remain chaste until she was married. Parents, if you're asked later, you explain it. She signed this statement, and they had a ceremony, and she wore a bracelet of some kind. And the friend who told me the story said the young woman still wore the bracelet, and she still thought it was a good idea and something she should promote in general. But personally, she had broken her promise on a regular basis starting from the week after she signed on the dotted line. We have choices to make daily. Remember, Jesus spoke plainly of two roads, the wide and the narrow. And there's no doubt about which road God wants us to choose, but a choice must be made. God wants us to choose the narrow road, the narrow gate that leads to the kingdom of God, but some do and some don't. There are choices to make. God does not want yes men and yes women, nor blind obedience. God wants us to want to love Him with our whole hearts, our whole minds, our souls, and to want to love our neighbors as ourselves. God wants relationship that's real. And that will take God's help. And that will take God's Holy Spirit. And that will take time, a lifetime of surrender. Jesus did not call God King demanding obedience. He called God Father, who wants to give love and wants us to return from our harmful and hurtful and hateful wanderings. The kind of Father Jesus painted was a waiting Father at the end of the road, gazing, watching, waiting for the prodigal son to come home, to desire to be a son again. After preaching once on Jesus' command to forgive enemies, one lady said to me, "Preacher, you can make the Bible say anything." She didn't want to do that. And Scripture can be twisted, there's no doubt about it, but folks, I hear Jesus saying clearly, you can say anything you want about faith, but if you love God and if you trust God, it shows. It shows. And if you act in a hateful, unloving way to yourself or to your neighbors or do absolutely nothing that God commanded, then does it really matter what you say in public? If you believe that God exists and you believe that love matters, you must believe that what you do matters. This two sons story is a story saying one thing. It's about saying one thing and doing another. Or rather, it's really about saying no to God and then having the freedom to change your heart, to change your mind, to change your direction, to change your life to a yes to God. All the way to the cross, Jesus lived the same example of doing God's will and wanting to do the will of God. Is that easy? No. No. My daughter Christina is in love with Shakespeare. She is an English major at Presbyterian College. She did not go to a Methodist college because it was foreordained before all time that she go to a Presbyterian college. But my daughter Christina, some will get that later. My daughter Christina is in love with Shakespeare. And I want to close with this thought. A professor once told a class that reading Shakespeare's King Lear is an empty thing. She got the class's attention. She said, "You can read this play without ever encountering it." King Lear, the professor said, was not written to be read. It was written to be acted out or performed. To really encounter King Lear, you must witness its performance. Likewise, the Christian faith. To twist Shakespeare, the world is indeed a stage, and as Christians we are called to act out from the heart, not memorized lines and words, but to live on the stage of this world our faith, often fitfully improvising as we go, but looking to God for guidance and words and what to do next. That's what Jesus calls us to do today and every day. And thank God this parable says to me, it gives us the freedom, God does, to at times say no, then reconsider, repent, and go and do, turning again and again to God our Father. Amen. And thank God for the freedom and the grace to return. Amen. Please stand. Before the benediction, I've been told in an informal survey that I have taken that, Jim, if time's running short, go ahead and preach your sermon no matter how long it takes. Now that I've actually done that, we'll take a second survey and see how it went. Receive this blessing. Loving God, we do thank You for the picture of You that Jesus has embedded in our hearts, minds, and souls of the waiting Father, waiting for us to return to You, to return and to re-embrace as a child of Yours. And Father, as Your children, we thank You for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has revealed You among us and Your love and Your grace. And we thank You today as we fitfully improvise our faith on the stage of this world for the presence and the power of Your Holy Spirit. Sustain us as we grow. In Jesus' name, amen.